Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to the Student of the Game. I am Kyle Nash, the Student of the Game, here with me in studio, Weasel Weasel.
Yeah, boy.
Stephen Weasel Hurley, ready to bring some heat and awesome, like he often does, outside the lines doing his thing. And of course, the local hero himself, out in Sumter County, doing his thing, defending the locals from any sort of fires or dangers that he can. Of course, Mr. Chris Rankin. Chris, good to have you back. I know you're not in studio this week. You know, we know you were doing your community a service last week, but we're glad to have you back, as always, my man.
Yeah, it's good to be back, finally back on the call. So,
yeah,
last week was a little ridiculous, but sorry.
We won't get into it, but the man did his civic duty to help his daughter's sports team, and I can respect that thoroughly.
They did win 9-4, so that was good, too. So.
Boom! Move over, Lombardi, Rankin, bingo, coaching great. I'm trying to tell you. Anyways, it's always good when you can open the show with a Lombardi joke. I don't know why. That just feels good. But I'm glad we opened with the joke because the first quick hit we want to do here is not a laughing matter. Two rookies recently drafted for their teams out for the year now, unfortunately. First with the Broncos, really quick. John Howerman Jeff Howerman. It helps if I could read. The name John will be plenty relevant. More on that later. Jeff Howerman, H-E-U-E-R, Howerman, whatever. Okay, so he's out for the year. He hurts his knee in the rookie mini camps that took place throughout the NFL over this past weekend. And since they're already down Julius Thomas since his departure to Jacksonville. Obviously a big injury there. But the thing that seems to be making the news this weekend, and certainly what we hear about it here, most being in Florida ourselves, home-based, is Dante Fowler, first-round pick, I believe third-round overall.
Number three overall,
out as well. With an ACL.
Was it defensive end from Florida?
I believe that's correct. Very good, Weasel. Wow. On fire! But you see the video of it. Basically, there's just some contact and some light blocking, and his knee just goes a direction it doesn't appear that it really wants to, and torn ACL. So, I mean, guys, look, I'll put it this way. I was hoping that the Jags would draft Leonard Williams. But now I guess I'm more right than I thought?
Just had a thought. There's a guy, Martellus Bennett, who plays for the Bears.
Martellus Bennett.
Tight end. I forgot why I think he's on the trading block, but I could see the,
they need help. That's why.
I could say that the Broncos may give them a call.
Interesting. I could see Martellus Bennett doing plenty with one Peyton Manning at his side. I don't know. Chris, Martellus Bennett to the Broncos. Good times?
Oh, yeah, that'd be a great time for the Broncos and for Martellus Bennett right there.
Yeah, I don't see anybody losing in that thing. I don't know who or what exactly they would give up to do it.
I'd say maybe like a fourth-round pick.
Oh, going draft pick. That could work. All right. I've heard worse ideas. So, I don't know. Anyways, we've been dancing around it long enough. The pink elephant in the room, or I should say, the tire pump in the room, Deflategate. Deflategate has been a thing since what? January or February?
But now, early January.
But now, 4 months later, it concludes. Well, kind of. I don't know. So, yeah. Today, the news broke that the NFL, in a punishment, yeah, I think a punishment's a good word for this, a punishment levied by Troy Vincent, head of football operations for the NFL, in a punishment, of course, supported and authorized by one Roger Goodell, the commissioner, suspended Brady 4 games. Tom Brady, of course, the quarterback of the New England Patriots, 4 games. And the New England Patriots for $1 million.
Seriously, it was $1 million.
Right. for $1 million. And, of course, a first-round pick in the upcoming draft and a fourth-round pick in the draft following. About the harshest penalty one has seen since Eddie DeBartolo back in the 80s with the whole scandal that he went into with the gambling in Louisiana and all that with the 49ers and all that. I don't know. You had the 49ers, and that was going well. Why did you have to do scandalous stuff, Eddie DeBartolo? That hurts my feelings. But anyways, back on track. Now, the Deflategate scandal, we kind of hit it there. The top level, obviously involving New England Patriots. Obviously, allegedly involving Tom Brady. According to the NFL, there's certainly a preponderance of evidence declaring so. But everybody remembers the name Ted Wells. Perhaps you know him as the guy that had to levy the
Bounty Gate?
Negative. Ndamukong Suh, oh, my foot was numb. Yeah, that, who had to levy him just a minimal minimal suspension because of the rules, and it hadn't been 14 straight games since his recent occurrence and all that other stuff. Yeah, the guy who basically presided over Ndamukong Suh's recent thing with him stepping on Aaron Rodgers' leg, he's back once again writing a report for the Deflategate scandal, 243 pages of PSI, New England. I mean, CSI, New England. My bad. Because pounds per square inch.
I believe it was, for Ted Wells, he did, I think, did the same kind of report for Bounty Gate.
Did he?
Yeah.
Huh. There you go. Bit of history then, this guy. I did not know. I didn't remember he did Bounty Gate as well. I was trying to go a bit more recent, but hey, there you go, Weasel. Good looking out. So at any rate, basically the recap is at the AFC Championship game, and it's 45-7 shellacking that it was, that a bag of footballs was transferred from one John Jastrzemski, equipment manager, to Jim McNally, the officials' locker room attendant. Weasel, go ahead and take it from there.
All right. What I'll say, first of all, I think this is mainly a story of three people. You got, of course, Tom Brady. He is known for...
I need some dramatic music here.
Tom Brady. And, well, the thing is to Brady, it is known that he does like softballs. And so... So, I mean, that's not well known around the league and stuff. So, you have Jim McNally. The guy's 48 years old. His job is to be the officials' locker room attendant from the Patriots.
The way you said that, I'm kind of like picturing him on like a game show. He's 30. He's how old? 40. 40 what?
48.
He's 48 years old and a 32-year part-time handler of balls. Give it up for Jim McNally.
So pretty much his job is to take the balls and bring them over to the refs. Now the other guy you have here is John Jastrzemski.
Jastrzemski, yes.
He is he was 35 years old at the time. He's an equipment assistant for the Patriots. So Jastrzemski is employed by the Patriots. I guess it was like full-time. But McNally, he's been there seasonally, part-time type of thing. So
if you live anywhere near a theme park, you know what a seasonal employee is.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
So essentially, with those three people, this is what the Deflategate is. So the problem was it was for the championship game in January,
right.
The Patriots versus the Colts. Now, the Colts have, they actually gave a heads up to the NFL that they were like, hey, guys, Patriots are kind of cheating here. That's not cool.
It kind of stems a bit from their regular season meeting that kind of kicked up a little bit of suspicion. And then the Colts were like, you might want to check this out. That's pretty much what it boils down to.
So pretty much you have, at the beginning of the, when the officials arrive and stuff, what they do is they take the submitted balls of the
submitted balls.
Ding,
ding.
They take those footballs, and what they do is they check the level for them. Now the legal level for a football.
When you say the level, you mean the level
the,
of inflation.
Pressure. Inflation, yes.
Pressure is better. Let's go with that. Pressure, which is pounds per square inch or a PSI.
So that would be the legal limit for them, for that's proper for the NFL is 12.5 to 13.5 PSI, pounds per square inch.
Boom!
So they measure the Colts. The Colts ones were about, they were in the range of 13.0 and 13.1, which is, you know, right slab in the middle.
Bing.
So the first time the refs did the they did the Patriots ones.
Yeah, when they did the Patriots pregame testing of their balls. That's right. The refs tested the Patriots balls.
They did.
Hi-oh.
And you have them. It checked out. The ones that the Patriots brought, they were about, I think it was like, you know, 12.5, a little bit above and stuff, but they were okay.
They were within, but on the lower side.
So instead of just forgetting about it and just going and playing the game, the Colts did give a heads up to the refs, like, you guys should check out these balls.
And yeah, it was well before this point that it was suggested that they check out the Patriots' balls.
So
they were a sight to be seen, apparently.
So pretty much what you have that you were getting to, what you were getting to was that before the game you had McNally. He's kind of like he's the guy that, you know, brings the Patriots. He brings the rest of the footballs to
Thank
check out.
Thank you. Yeah, remember, he's not connected to the Patriots exactly. He's hired by the Patriots to be the attendant for the officials in their locker room. If they need sheets or sheets, I don't think they're sleeping in there, but I don't know. But if they need towels or anything for the locker room, he handles that.
So it was about hours before the game, and the thing is he... People saw him. He grabbed the Patriots bag of footballs. He grabbed the Colts bag of footballs, and he left the officiating area.
Which, eventually,
yeah,
that happens. You know,
well,
but.
The head official at the time, he said, "I've been doing this for 19 years, and this has never happened." So he takes both bags of footballs, and he's walking towards the field.
According to video camera footage.
And witnesses, they did interview some witnesses that saw it.
Mm-hmm.
From the videos, you could see that he was carrying two bags, and he was going into a restroom.
Well, he was headed towards the tunnel.
Towards
to
the,
go
the
onto
field.
The field.
Correct.
And takes a sharp left into what is a restroom.
Yes. So, he locks the door, and... through the videotape, I guess, and maybe some witnesses, they timed it to be exactly 1 minute and 40 seconds.
I'm willing to think and that's from the tape.
The thing is I don't know if he washed his hands, too. I mean, maybe that'll be a little...
you better wash your hands after handling all those balls.
Like, exactly. Hygiene gate. So that's the next one to go.
Hygiene gate.
So 1 minute, 40 seconds. Now, the thing about these two guys, John Trzemski and Jim McNally, is that they exchange text messages, and the guys are hilarious. But anyways, we'll get that.
Essentially,
what happened was the 1 minute, 40 seconds. In the report, they did like a analysis about how long would it take to deflate some footballs. Is this possible? So the thing was, is they found that if you have a needle, you just stick it in the football. And what it does, you could let air out simply by doing that. So,
well, and to be clear, the report also went on to say, and you have reasonable experience in executing this process, which I'm gonna go out on a limb, 32 years handling balls, you're kind of an expert. Hi-yo!
So essentially, what happens next is a minute 40 is out. He goes and he gives the balls to the ref or something. Both bags, maybe he had some excuse, but. Then you have the start of the game. So when you have the start of the game, they're going to be playing. The Patriots are going to throw their footballs.
Oh, yeah.
Colts are going to throw theirs. But it didn't stop there because...
Well, let me stop you there real quick. It wasn't that they got handed back to the refs. The refs had checked them off. So I believe after that point, they were just out into the field and then put in... Not directly put into play, obviously, but taken to the sideline. They weren't re-administered to the refs.
Yeah.
That, right.
So I guess they then... tracked it down pretty much. So.
Exactly.
But so essentially, most likely it would end right there if it wasn't for the Colts because of they did get an interception. And when they intercepted the ball, they gave it right to their, not trainer, but I forgot who.
What are their equipment?
The linebacker, I think, who intercepted it, gave it to like an equipment person to check out.
There you go.
It was indeed less than 12.5 PSI.
So basically, if Brady didn't throw a pick, They want to have less, to worry
less
about.
Rule for it. So halftime comes up, and so the Patriots, they check their footballs, and about 11 out of 12
Whoa,
of them.
Who was they? The officials.
The officials.
The there you go.
Due to the Patriots allegations and stuff.
The Colts allegations.
Yeah, yeah. Colts allegations. Pretty much, he said they did the measurements, and they found that the footballs were 12.5 PSI or less, which is against the rules. And you can, that whole thing about it's against the integrity of the game. So they also did, of course, you know, the Patriots, and they tested theirs. And I think they only did about four of them. All of them were at 13.0 and 13.1. So this is so afterwards, they took the Patriots footballs. They inflated them back to standard, I would guess. And then they finished up the game. So
which, you know, and that's so that's basically the recap. According to the report that Ted Wells put out, that the balls for the Patriots that Tom was handling throughout the game, were all underinflated under the rules. Now, I think the integrity of the game piece is involved with that. But first of all, let me ask this question, and Chris, I'll go to you because Weasel has walked us through this here pretty extensively for the most part. Is it really a big deal that the Patriots in this game with the Colts did this inflation manipulation? Is that something that really stresses you out as a football fan?
Not really. I mean, yeah, it makes a little advantage when it's snowing, the little softer balls to try to catch, because, I mean, pretty cold out there, your fingers are numb as is already. But to not really with the deflating of the ball a little bit.
Okay, well, and here's the thing that we don't really have a definitive answer on, and I'm not trying to say that I think this happened or any of that, but we don't know, although Weasel has pointed out, that it has been alleged that this isn't a new practice for the Colts, or Patriots, I'll put it that way. But let's say, for example, that Baltimore Ravens game in the divisional playoff, quite a bit closer. Now, I don't care how much you deflate your balls, you got plenty working for you with the interceptions that Flacco's going to throw. So, you know what? Any way you can fit in a Joe Flacco diss is a good one on this show. We've been over this, Weasel. I'm trying to tell you. But from my point of view, I'm with you, Chris. In this game, certainly, where it ended up 45-7. What competitive... Okay, so that means it was 45-7 instead of 21-7?
It was, well, at the end of the first half, I believe the Patriots were up like 20, I think it was 17-7. They were up, and Brady had only about, I think it was like 96 yards passing and a touchdown or so. But when it came around to the second half where the refs pumped the balls back up, it was like 20 points or so, 30 points in the second half. So it actually, you know, in a way, it kind of worked.
Brady did better when he had balls he didn't like handling.
Yeah, he...
Giggity.
Well, it's these balls were properly handled, so...
He likes it better when he's forced to handle particular types of balls. Is that what you're saying?
Okay, you can say that.
Okay, let's move on from this line of humor for the moment. It's not fair. The setup is too beautiful. We can't pass it up, man. Anyways, so... I think what the deal here is it's less about the advantage gained. Because, well, let's be clear. If you didn't gain an advantage from it, why else would you do it? Exactly. So anybody who's trying to tell me, oh, they can't gain an advantage. Okay, well, first of all, the rule's there for a reason. And if you don't get an advantage, why do you do it? If you can answer those questions, hey, I'm right here. At the SOTG is the Twitter handle. Boom.
Okay, let's go over a little section here.
Go ahead, Weasel.
So there was actually, it was around the time of October 17th, 2014. So it was Thursday Night Football against the Jets. You had Tom Brady. He had unhappiness of the ball's inflation levels. So he got pretty livid about it, and, you know, he's all mad. And McNally and you got Jastrzemski, they did exchange some texts about... air pressure and stuff like that.
And this is really the core of the Ted Wells report, that there was any conspiracy, for lack of a better word. I know technically speaking you need five people for a conspiracy and this is only three, but whatever. Anyways.
The thing about this is that McNally, the guy's got a sense of humor. So they text it back and forth. Tom's not happy and stuff like that. And so McNally's like, yeah, I'm going to go and inflate the footballs to be like watermelons or like, rugby balls. So now Tom Brady, he's pretty much, he said, I think in the past that you have McNally. He's like, I never heard of the guy. I know him just as much as I know Jim McMahon or something along those lines.
Yeah, Jim McNally, Jim McMahon, he wouldn't know the difference.
And so there was a text, though, from Jastrzemski that said that same day, he talked to him last night, him as in Brady. He actually brought you up and said that you must have a lot of stress trying to get them done. So that kind of implied that Brady knew what McNally was doing.
So McNally had a whole lot of stress trying to deflate Brady's balls.
Pretty much, yes.
I can imagine.
So he's been, like, throughout the season, he's been very particular with that. And there was a, I forgot what a show it was, maybe ESPN or something along those lines. And they got, I think, eight people, normal people off the streets. And they said, here's a football that is 12, I think it was like 12.5 pounds per square inch, and this one is 14.5. So what they did was they gave the footballs to him, one of each, and they say which one is deflated more. And I think all eight people got it right. So it does give a, let's see, well, for ideally for Brady, I think he grips it a lot better, and then I guess it's easier to catch. So
well, I don't know about easier to catch, well, but, you know,
theoretically, it's easier to catch.
Well, yeah, but the point is it's Brady's preference. That's the question here. I mean, you know, that. Let me put it this way. And, like, so the text says Brady brought you up. It's an interesting concept, and it certainly puts Brady in the room, so to speak. If I'm Brady's counsel, which I'm not, but if I were, that's just Jastrzemski's effort to say, oh, he brought up the inflation of the footballs. And since this guy in the Ted Wells report, this guy being, of course, Jim McNally, identifies himself as the deflator. If they do a movie about this, Arnold Schwarzenegger better play Jim McNally, because I want to hear him call himself the deflator. I am the deflator. I will see to it your balls are nice and soft. Wow, that... I didn't even mean for that to happen. We're going to move past that. Anyways.
So pretty much all you got to know is that I think Jim McNally, he's the guy that was, I think, had the needle and, you know, he was deflating them. And Josh Jastrzemski, I think when you get like new footballs and stuff for the trainer or whatever, for him being the equipment assistant, I think you have to break them in, the footballs and
well,
something like that.
Breaking them in and deflating them is two different processes.
Well, oh, yes. No, but his job is, I mean, to properly prepare the footballs for gameplay. So he prepares them. And McNally, he's just the guy that, I guess he's with, the guy with the needle. So there is, and the text messages are awesome. It's like, they have like, F Tom Brady, I'm going to go and deflate these. And
so basically, like, if you could picture what a Boston fan sounds like in your head, that's pretty much what happens. Yeah. Here, let's be real. No offense to my Boston fans, but y'all cats know you're harsh. I'm just saying. So these are the same guys who were calling for Garoppolo to start playing after that KC game. You know who you are.
Well, let's just say, I think Ryan Mallett, former quarterback for the Patriots, he was, I believe, a third-round pick. I don't think he got much of a chance to play because, of course, Brady's there. Now you got this guy, Alabama quarterback, is it Jimmy Garoppolo?
Garoppolo, correct.
He's the backup. No.
I don't think he's from Alabama.
I think he played for. I think he did. Maybe that is AJ McCarrick or something like that. Yeah, whatever.
He didn't play for Alabama.
Told you.
He did.
He did not.
No, he did not.
Okay. Well, he played somewhere, I'm sure. Do you know?
I'll look it up right now for you.
Thank you.
You were saying, Weasel.
Well, so pretty much the first four games of the season, you're going to have a second year quarterback. That kind of gets his chance because if he does pretty well, if he gets some W's for the Patriots, I mean, they can maybe use him as a trading, like a little trading block type of thing.
You're miles ahead here.
And
let's go ahead and get back to the actual scandal that we haven't finished with yet.
Yes.
How about that?
Okay.
No offense, but we'll
I gotcha.
All that in a minute. So here's the thing. Here's the thing in the levying of the fine to the Patriots, $1 million, the 4 games to Brady. And then, of course, the 2 draft picks from the Patriots franchise as well. First of all, I'll ask this. The Patriots' cooperation is cited here in that McNally wasn't made available for a follow-up interview. And the Wells report states, hey, look, the Patriots were very cooperative except for this. Of course, according to the Patriots, it wasn't like they wouldn't let him have a second interview. It was actually like a fifth interview or something like that. Does that make it any less questionable in your mind? Chris, I'll ask you first. Or
I don't know. If it's... I'm just trying to think. I don't think it'd be less questionable.
Okay, and that's kind of where I am. I mean, you got a multi-billion-dollar business, sure, and this may be his part-time job, but I think the part where the investigating party, the Wells crew, for lack of a better way to describe them at current, the law firm in question, that is the third party the NFL has hired to do this investigation, said that they would make every concession, and the best the Patriots could come up with is, oh, he has a real football full-time job. And he lives an hour away. These cats would have conquered that. I have a feeling. They're a law firm with the NFL paying them. I think they could have just gotten the car and made the trip.
And I think pretty much McNally, he is the guy that they needed to talk to.
Sure.
Like most. And that was shown to be a way the Patriots maybe were hiding something, of course, or that this guy will, you know, maybe spill the beans.
And let's be clear, folks. Weasel isn't just saying that. Again, McNally hasn't identified himself as the deflator. We know for a fact that all roads pass through this dude when it comes to this instance, okay? It's that simple.
And so that right there was, it was non-compliance or they didn't cooperate fully.
Correct.
You also have another person who didn't cooperate fully.
Say, Weasel, who's that?
His name is Tom. Oh, Tom Brady. Okay.
I hope your microphone picked up that you checked the paper for that.
So, I think that Brady, because, you know, Josh Remsky is the one that handles his balls, and he gets them prepared for game time. Ding!
Hi-yo.
So, I think he would have some more contact or more text to send good old Tom Brady. And I'm sure there have been emails and stuff like that because it's kind of an important thing for a quarterback.
It's good you mentioned that, too, because the Wells crew was willing to go to extraordinary lengths to protect Tom Brady's privacy in the whole matter. Redaction of certain items, you know, anything that didn't pertain to the handling of Tom Brady's balls. Actually, wait, that could be personal information. Anything that didn't have anything to do with the Flategate, how about that?
Yeah, they just wanted that specific stuff.
Correct. Anything else could have been redacted or whatever. Brady just said nope. And let's put this in perspective, and I'm stealing a bit from Eric Casilius here, but this is the best way to explain it. This isn't like if you're at work, Weasel, and your engineering firm that you're at says, I would like the report you're working on with so-and-so. You can't just say, nope, can't have it.
Well, you can. They may not be happy about it. So.
You know who else wouldn't be happy about it? Your wife, because you'd be bleep,
yeah,
fired.
Yeah.
It's that simple. See, that just got real when
I
said that, didn't
I got you. I got you.
No, he's not getting fired, Amanda. Settle down. Anyways, so from this standpoint, for Brady to be so brazen going, I'm the golden boy, son. What? You know, I do what I want. I don't know.
I bet Brady uses like LOL and OMG. I would think so.
You know what? Chris, what do you think? Does Brady use OMG in texts?
I bet you he uses it all the time.
LOL.
Especially talking about his deflated balls.
Oh, OMG.
So, I mean, but Chris, like, I got to say, and mixed in with the preponderance of evidence, so to speak, you know, we talk about the videotape showing McNally going in the bathroom for an hour. Oh, God, that makes it sound worse, doesn't it?
For 1 minute and 40 seconds.
I said an hour, yeah. A minute and 40.
It must have felt like an hour, though.
Stop it. A minute and 40, deflating the balls meant for Brady. There's no way to make that sound not perverted. This is not fair. The footballs for Brady. And then all the other pieces that come out. We mentioned the texts between Dostremski and McNally talking about Brady and his discussion and his involvement there. Not to mention, throughout, and something you think you left out here, Weasel, it's kind of important. Throughout, McNally is demanding compensation from Brady via signed gear.
It's, yeah. The thing is that they made it known is that McNally is not getting paid for this by Tom Brady.
Correct.
It's this thing that kind of he does. So, but McNally, his person to talk to is Dostremski.
Boom.
So for him, he's like, I want some sneakers. I want some, I don't think he got money.
Not sneakers, Uggs.
Uggs. And I think he said kicks at one time.
Correct.
So
kicks.
And he said autographed footballs and he had one of his old game worn jerseys by Brady autographed. And so those were essentially gifts for McNally. And indirectly from good old Tom Brady.
Yeah, and while there's nothing that directly says that saying that Tom Brady goes, hey, I totally hooked you up, I don't know that that's necessarily needed for a quote-unquote smoking gun. But we're going to take this opportunity here to take a quick break. We'll come back in a bit and wrap up this whole Deflategate thing that's a complete and total mess, as you could probably tell through us walking through it. But we'll be back after the break. You're listening to The Student of the Game here on NGSC Sports. I think it's appropriate that we play the roundup at this point.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Talking about Jim McNally rounding up all the deflated balls he can.
32 years experience with balls. Just saying.
You know, I hope no one's keeping account of how many of these jokes we're making.
Ding!
Yeah, ding! Chris, have you been keeping count?
No, I should have been keeping count.
It's a drinking game.
And Jimmy Garoppolo went to Eastern Illinois.
Ah, close enough. I was in the same country.
Alabama?
I was in the same country. Okay, I'm good.
I was in the same country. Keep in mind, you weren't even in the same region of said country.
He wasn't in the same time zone, though. Well,
let's just say that the Patriots are going to be very much familiar with him for the first four games. So.
Oh yes, that's a good point. And you know, it's worth mentioning the games he's missing are interesting because so the season opener with the Steelers, I still think they can win that one. We'll get into that later on in the off season too about how I think the Steelers are on the decline. But I called it, I think, not this past season, but the season before, that the Steelers were on their way down. They could still win that game. Shoot, who knows? The Jags are one of them. The Bills are another. The Cowboys will face him without Brady. That could be a problem. But I find a certain irony that when Tom Brady returns to the field, guys, do you know who the next opponent is at that point?
Man, it's going to require some luck, I think, to guess this one.
I see what you did there!
Yeah.
Because it's the Colts. See, Weasel said luck.
It kind of, you had that that feeling of when during the Spygate thing where you have, ooh, the Patriots are playing the Jets next. And yeah, but this one, it's like really, really weird because...
Bigger conspiracy, Deflategate or the Colts facing the Patriots after the suspension? Weasel.
Oh, this one. Yeah. I mean, the Colts, I mean, he was, you know, if he was behind this, which I think Brady was, they called him out on it, and they were right. So.
Well, and let me ask you this question, Chris. The Patriots are complaining, oh, it was a sting operation set up to bust us. I mean, am I the only person who think that's kind of ridiculous as a defense? I mean, help me out here.
Duh. Well, I mean, how many times they've cheated in Belichick's error? I mean, of course people are looking out for it anyway.
Well, and actually, you know, it's funny that in Troy Vincent's letter to the Patriots organization, that previous transgressions against the league, a.k.a. Spygate, were cited. And there are some similarities with the Spygate situation and how the Patriots acted now. And, you know, certain elements were made unavailable. The repeated denial. Hell, in this case, Robert Kraft even demanded an apology. I don't think that happened.
Oops.
Yeah. So, I mean, Chris, in your mind, should the fact that the Patriots were a repeat offender have been held against them?
Yeah, it has to, for the monetary reasons, I think it is, because, I mean, realistically, if you look at the rule book with the PSI, it only has a $25,000 fine attached to it. $25,000 fine these days is like nothing for these teams. Yeah. I mean, you got to redo the, you know, book, make it up to like $250,000, and now they're at another zero, at least, or something. So I didn't think it was going to be $1 million. I mean, I thought it was going to be about $500,000 in fine, but come up with $1 million, I thought that was a little outrageous.
Interesting you mentioned $500,000 because that was the fine for Spygate. Interesting enough, Chris, right. Weasel.
I think they had to like give like a statement or something like that. But I've read that the reason for the high, you got the $1 million, which is the, I think, highest ever. And then you have the draft picks.
Highest ever tied with Eddie DeBartolo. But
okay, yeah, there you go. It definitely stemmed off of the Patriots' past about their Spygate and Spygate.
Yeah.
So it definitely stemmed off of that. They did add because of that. Because, I mean, even though this was just like, you know, it was the quarterback and other people, it's different than having a marijuana charge and you suspend someone for 4 games. This one had to do with the game of football.
Well, that
to possibly affect games.
And it was more than one person involved in the crime. If somebody's smoking pot or taking a performance-enhancing drug or whatever, it's just them. This was a systemic... I don't want to go systemic. This involved multiple parties in a situation that was premeditated, to say the least. You have to hit him with this. I mean, that's the way I'm kind of at on it. So let me go around the room here. Weasel, I'll start with you. The punishment fitting the crime. Yes or no, Weasel?
At first, it was when I heard it on NFL radio, it said that they said 4 games for Brady. Now, I was thinking that was, I think he should have had maybe 6 games or so. But so, yeah, I was a little bit like, about the 4 games, but when they kept on going, even the Pats, you know, the Belichick, you have Kraft, all them supposedly never heard of this, which I think is the truth, to find them $1 million, and the first round pick and the fourth round pick in the 2017, think it worked out.
2016, fourth round 2017, but so you would have liked to see Brady with more games. But
I thought it would be higher for Brady because it's one thing to say, oh, I went to the person that handles my balls. Ding. Yeah, all I did was I just said 12.5. I want all the footballs to be at that. I want it to be at the lowest deflation within the rolls. That's what I want. And then if it then comes back later that McNally was deflating way too much or anything like that, Brady could have said, you know, that was never my intention. But the thing was,
that's not how he reacted. Like, he was without remorse in all his responses, and all he could say is, we earned our Super Bowl, basically. So, that's not what happened here.
Yeah, I think the punishment, Brady, I would expect more games, but since of those other things that affected the organization, I think they did good.
Interesting. Chris?
I think punishment to the organization was right on target. I mean, the first round, fourth round next year, $1 million because of the repeat offending. But with Brady, I didn't think deflating the balls was that big of a deal anyway to begin with. I think it's all blown out of the proportion.
Hi-yo!
You take the competitive advantage and everything like that. You know, you skew it a little bit. But four games, he's going to appeal it. It's going to go down to two. But, I mean, it's Tom Brady. Like, it's going to matter. He'll do it again. Oh, two-game suspension, no problem. You know, that saves me on that. Why not make it for postseason? Suspension during postseason. One game or two-game postseason. If they don't make it to the postseason this year, it carries over to next year. If it doesn't make it that year, it carries over to the following year.
Well, Brady won't be playing that much longer.
Because, I mean, this offense happened in the postseason.
Yeah.
So why not do it in the postseason where the punishment's there? Beginning of the season, yeah, he's out four. Even if he gets appealed and it gets denied, he's out four games. They can still go 10-6 and make the playoffs. So it's not like it's hurting the Patriots at all. That's why if you do it in postseason play, that, you know, maybe teams will start second thought. Well, now they're going to start suspending during postseason. Well, maybe we shouldn't do that where it counts.
Yeah. Well, I you have a lot of good stuff there. First of all, I like, in theory, the postseason thing. The problem is, what if they don't make it? Now, you and I both know they play in the AFC East, and that chances are they will, no matter how much the rest of the division is allegedly improving. However, four games, that's enough to knock you off. Like, for example, a four-game alteration, let's say, in the AFC South, that could make a difference. Now, I think you're right. I haven't looked at the Patriots' schedule as yet. They could potentially still go 10-6 and make the playoffs. That's probably true. But Tom Brady being out those four games, I think, is the best that we can hope to do as far as, you know, where the suspension should be. Like I said, the dude has been in the league for, what, 12, 13 years now? He's not going to be in the league long enough for, you know, the next postseason you get to, you won't be playing in it for a game or whatever. That's, again, that's good in theory. I think in practice the problem is you can't guarantee that it'll be served. So you have to do it with the regular season games. For me, I'm with you. I think the four games are put in place so he can appeal down to two. And I don't really think Brady should necessarily get more than two, and here's the reason why. First of all, the reason why he's getting the four games on the surface is because he was a brazen D-bag about it. If he had cooperated, if he hadn't talked smack, if he hadn't acted more like his owner did with the NFL owes me an apology, this crap, and actually just cooperated, he either would have been hit only with a fine, in my opinion, or maybe been suspended a game and missed the opening game. That's one. But I guess what I'm trying to get at is his attitude towards the allegation in the first place. Basically, the whole attitude surrounding it. I'm Tom Brady. I'm the goalkeeper. You can't touch this. Yeah, I can. I'm Roger Goodell. Boom. Know your role. Weasel, you're itching to get here. Go ahead.
Well, I think it's all one thing if Brady, like I guess at the start of... Oh, first, I just want to say that this didn't start at the AFC Championship game.
Correct.
They were doing this in the past.
It's been alleged. We just
allegedly they've done it in the past. I think starting like in the 2014 season, they were well aware with how Tom wanted his balls prepared. So... For the games.
He's prepared and not handled. Anyways.
But I think the main thing here is what you do is if you're the NFL and they want to appeal, you'd be like, okay, Tom, so what's up? What happened? The thing is he's denying. He won't say anything. He's not cooperating or anything like that. kind of bring this back to the Adrian Peterson thing. I think with Peterson, the magnitude of what he did, I don't think he got it. He didn't understand that what he did was, you know, really, really bad. With Brady, this is about, you know, the game of football was specific to possibly gaining an advantage. And it's just the guys, he won't, like, fess up or anything. So if he talks to the NFL or anything like that, I think he's going to just remain the same. And to dock it to more games, the guy, he never told the truth. And for months, too. This went back all the way to the AFC Championship game. And he denied it the whole time. So
I'm not going to go so far as you there to compare underinflating footballs to child abuse.
Well, but not getting it or something like that.
I think what you're trying to say is, it's similar to Peterson in his case. He showed a lack of remorse in the execution. And I guess that's where I'm coming from is this whole, I'm Tom Brady, you can't do this kind of thing. Don't you know who I am? I'm the juggernaut. No. But I think if Brady were smarter, what should have eventually happened was, hey, I told John Jastrzemski I like my balls soft. Stop it, Weasel.
Ding.
I like my footballs at a lower inflation because of the way I can grip my balls. God dang it. I'm not even trying at this point. The way I can grip the football in order to throw it. And that could
It's more comfortable to him.
It's more comfortable when his balls are deflated. Yes, fine. Okay, that was intentional. But he could have given that standing order about deflated balls, and the staff could have taken it upon themselves to go beneath the regulation to make him happy. Okay, that's fine, but it's still a conspiracy that was done in order to fulfill your requirement. Ergo, no matter what, you're still bleeping guilty. And it was, I saw something by Shannon Sharp. He does a little segment called Mouthing Off. I don't know if it's exclusive to social media or what. But him being whether I like him as an analyst or not is irrelevant. He is a 14-year veteran in the NFL. And in the 14 years he was in the NFL, he had a very particular set of criteria. He wanted, three packs of this and two packs of this, some sort of gum or something. I forget exactly what it is. And he wanted the lineman size socks so he could go over, hand it back to the equipment manager at the Broncos, and he would hand it back the receiver size socks. And because he did that, he went through the process of doing that handoff because it was superstition, right? Then when he went over to the Ravens, because that's where he finished his career, the Broncos equipment manager communicated with the Ravens equipment manager, and from day one, picked up the same exact ritual from there. Especially the thing with the socks, which is, again, give me the wrong sock so I could go back and hand it to you and you could switch them out. And no equipment manager is going to move unless told to do a particular thing. Why? Because making the players happy is what's important. But why is that so important? Think about it. And this is the point that Shannon Sharp made that I couldn't turn away from. There are 32 equipment managers in the NFL, 32 assistant equipment managers in the NFL, 64 total, 64 John Jastrzemskis in the NFL for all intents and purposes. No one's going to jeopardize their job doing some illegal expletive deleted, like deflating a football below a game standard, unless they were asked to do so and there was some motivation for them to do so. And between that and the texts and Tom Brady literally signing off his involvement with the handing off of the gear, I can't believe he didn't at least have a distant knowledge of it. In the fact that I said what I just described as I told him I want balls underinflated, and they did, and they took it upon themselves to do this, is the best case scenario.
Yeah, I wanted the levels to be as close to 12.5 as possible, within the range.
I find it hard to believe that a player cited PSI, it could happen. Like, I know these guys.
Brady's got to know that rule.
Forget the rule. Right now, forget the rule. Forget the rule. Forget the rule. It's not about the rule. He knows how he wants his balls to feel. There, I said. Okay, Bing. But to put, yeah, this feels like it's only about 12.45 PSI. You may want to pump that up. I don't see that happening. Hell, the guys that intercepted his passes in the first game against the Colts in the regular season, both were like, I wouldn't know the difference. I'm just trying to play some dang defense. But let's put it this way. With Brady's involvement of giving the order, you know, did you order the code red?
You can't handle the truth.
Okay, that's not exactly right. But yes, I just made Tom Brady Colonel Nathan R. Jessup in A Few Good Men.
You can't handle the truth.
You know, you asked them to underinflate the balls, and they did, and this is what happened. Private Willie Santiago died of lactic acidosis, and here you go. And unless you saw the movie, you won't get that joke. But, yeah, I don't know. Chris, I'll go ahead and give you the last word, man. Put a bow on this.
Yeah, still, going back to the suspension and everything, like I was saying, if it was playoff, it would have hurt a little more than anything. Even with Galoppo in there for the four, even if the four games holds true, I've been saying it for years. Patriots in the system, they're going to win under it. Look at Cassell, the 1 year when Brady went out the first season, first game of the season. They still ended 10-6 with Cassell.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
there are a system there. Look at the quarterbacks that were behind Brady. I mean, you look at Hoyer. He was starting for the Browns last few years.
Yeah.
And then Mallett gets transferred or gets traded over to Houston. He had games until he got hurt. So, I mean, they developed the quarterbacks there behind Brady, but still it's a system there that'll work. I've been saying it for years. So that's why I was saying the four-game suspension, even if it gets down to two, it's not going to hurt him anything. That's why I said you need to get to the playoffs. I don't care if they don't make the playoffs and he retires, he doesn't get any suspension then. But you know what? But if they do make it to the playoffs like they are going to, and they get that one game getting in the playoffs and he's not there, it's going to hurt them more than at the beginning of the season.
Man, I'll tell you, I don't think you're wrong. It just ain't going to happen. That's where I'm at. Weasel.
Since the trainers, they're kind of funny. I just wanted to, you know, end on one of their little text message exchanges.
Feel free to put in bleeps where there's curse words.
Oh, of course.
Not for nothing, if you haven't read the report, there are F words all over the place in these texts. Anyways.
And seriously, it's F Tom.
Yeah, right?
A lot.
Bleep Tom.
So you have Justremski saying to Bird, which I believe Bird would then be McNally. He says, can't wait to give you your needle this week.
Oh, boy.
And then so Bird responded, so McNally responded, F Tom, make sure the pump is attached to the needle. Effin' Watermelon's coming.
So, yeah, again, typical Bostonian fan.
And so Justremski responds, so angry. <He's>
so angry.
And this right here ends it well. So McNally said, the only thing deflating, son, but it's the only thing deflating Sunday is his passer rating. Awesome.
Kumbaya, my anyway.
That's hilarious.
So apparently, Weasel likes the concept of watermelons being flung at Tom Brady. There you go. Good times. Yeah. Anyways, I don't really know where to take it from here.
real quick about with the suspension without pay with Brady, and also
go for it.
He restructured his contract for this year. He's only making $1 million this year. Everything else was an upfront signing bonus.
Uh-oh.
He knew it.
4 games without pay is not going to do anything for him anyway.
I heard that it was $2 million. That's what I heard. That the 4 games would be $2 million, but somewhere along those lines. Maybe it included, if he did like the signing bonus type thing, I think it. I've heard the number, $2 million for those 4 games he'd be losing.
That doesn't.
Yeah, I heard he restructured his deal last year so they can make room, try to keep Revis and everything like that.
Because he's making $8 million in game checks alone, that don't sound right. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. That's what I've heard.
I don't know. Anyways, but yeah, Chris, I'm with you. The restructuring of his deal, is certainly something that softens the blow, especially when a guy like Tom Brady has endorsements and everything else. And oh, by the way, in his marriage, he's the less popular guy. It's that simple. He's not internationally famous like Gisele Bündchen is. I'm just saying. Nobody knows her as Gisele.
Yeah, also, he needs to go get some more endorsements for like jock strap or like Cialis or something like that. Viagra. Deflated balls.
This guy. I mean, you know, if Bob Dole can do an ED commercial, why can't Tom Brady? That's what I say. Dang it. Really? See, I blame you for this, Tom Brady. The reason why I'm making ED jokes on this show is because you deflated your balls. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Someone else deflated your balls. Because that makes it sound better. Not really.
Is his wife named Gisele?
Stop it. So
no, that's how you say it, right?
That's how you say it, Weasel. Yes, very good. Just say all the names you've mispronounced over the years, you get that one right. Yeah. Damn it.
And then he's super cute. He got one last week, too, pretty good. Or a couple weeks ago, he got one pretty good.
All right.
I don't remember what it is, but hey, there you go. If you want to go ahead and check the tape and see when that was, you can hear us on Spreaker, iTunes, iHeartRadio, the TuneIn app, TalkShoe, a lot of different places because, hey, we're awesome. That's how we roll here on the Student of the Game. Of course, I am the Student of the Game, Kyle Nash. You find me on Twitter at the SOTG. Of course, Weasel, hitting the research books hard this week. And yet, he was hitting it hard about deflated balls. Anyways, you can find him on Twitter at Weasel, the SOTG. And of course, I'm afraid to even say this name now on Twitter for Chris. Hydraulic Upright, UPRITE.
Is that boom?
There you
I like
go.
It.
There it is. I was waiting on the boom.
I don't know if you're a you
if I had to wait so much, if I had to wait much longer for the boom, my balls would have been deflated. Anyways, and of course, with all these jokes out of the way, we'll see you next week, and maybe we'll actually talk some football. Because Tom Brady, I blame you this week. We're a little early, but that's fine. Until next time, everybody, class dismissed.